You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. My guest in this episode is Allie Williams. That's Allie with an I, if you're curious. It does come up in our conversation, the I. She shares the story of a time when she called off a wedding and she got stuck with some bills as a result. And more interesting, more fun, the surprising way that this impacted her future life. This is a good story, you guys, with a nice outcome, and I'm pretty sure you're really going to enjoy it. So I'm going to wrap up this introduction so we can get to it. Allie Williams, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this.
Yay, I love to hear that. I accept all compliments, guys, all of them. I start all of my interviews asking my guests what part of the world they're in. So where are you today?
I am in South Carolina in the U.S., and it's like 95 degrees already, so it's going to be a hot one today.
It is. I am even further south than you. We start our summers early and they last all long time. All right. But it is hot. We are in the thick of summer as we record this. All right. In a second, we'll get to the topic of the day. But before we do that, there's that saying that is that laughter is the best medicine. What is something that you can count on, Allie, to bring a smile or a laughter to your life?
Smile would be watching my kids. I have two little boys, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, so very close in age. And just watching them run around outside and just like the bond that they're starting to form. They like each other for now, so hopefully it stays that way. And we live on like a 25-acre farm in South Carolina, and so just like looking out and just seeing them run, and it's just cool. It's been fun. Just see them turn into people.
Very nice. I love that answer. Four is super cute. They're like little people, but they're goofy. Mm-hmm. Playtime, dress up, costumes, love it. All the good stuff. All right. So topic of the day, not dressing up in costumes. You actually pitched two compelling stories. We'll see if we can get to them both because, you know, it's only 30 minutes or so, but we're going to start by talking about when you canceled a wedding when you were 22 years old and actually why and how you struggled with that decision. So my first question is, when you were planning a wedding when you were 22, how long had you known that person that you thought you might marry at that age?
Yeah, years. We met freshman year of college, and started dating, gosh, I want to say junior year of college. It was, you know, we knew each other for a few years. I went to school in South Carolina. I'm from New York originally, and then I went to school down here. So yeah, we knew each other for a few years, and got engaged like 6 or 9 months after graduation.
Okay. All right. So that's very cool. It wasn't like super fast, but so in some circles, 22 is super young to get married, right? In other circles, it's not. And I actually do not have an opinion on that when it comes to other people. I mean, I might have an opinion on it actually if it was my kids, but even then, I think I try and keep my mouth shut to tell you the truth. But what was the marriage culture like in your family growing up? What messaging did you get from your parents and your friends and your school and all kind of things about marriage, where it fits in a family, how old you should be, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it, like you said, it's very, there's like cultural differences and in different parts of, you know, the country, like it's different. So like I grew up in New York and like 22 is extremely young. My parents actually were both married before, both had no kids though. And then my parents got married, I want to say closer to 30, maybe like 29, 30. I would say that was more like the culture I was raised in, was like upper 20s, low 30s was like quote unquote normal marriage time frame. But then you get to the South and I'd say people get married super young. 20 to 25, I'd say, is like a normal range. Not for everyone. This is me generally speaking, so no one come for me. But, you know, just culturally speaking, I'd say like younger is more common down South than it is, at least in my experience. in the north, obviously different parts of the country kind of will fall into different buckets. But
100%.
yeah, so it wasn't common in college. It was common though, to meet and maybe date in high school or college and then get married, soon after college or within like a few years of graduation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can be regional. I'll be curious to see what the audience says about it, because it can be regional. I think it might be shifting in some. I have no idea. Like, I really, I think that even in big communities where there's region, there's probably a lot of spread, because there can be, families and certain. There are some, like, there are some faith-based communities where it's very, where it's hard, it's very early, because it's like, we don't date. We just get straight married. And that's why I don't have an opinion. As long as it works for you, like, I don't, like, that's the reason. All right, so, but at 20, because we're talking about money, at 22, who was paying for the event? And were you planning a big event? Like, 'cause, like, you can do like a backyard wedding with friends and family, or you can do, 500 people at the plaza. So what kind of thing was this first wedding?
So we were paying for it. I actually, my wedding that I did have years later, we also paid for it. I mean, my parents were helping with a few, my parents were buying like my dress and invitations, but like like a few things, but like the majority of it was on us. It was, gosh, so this was over 10 years ago now. I want to say we're going to be around like 150 to 200 people. So not super small, but not like a 500 person event in South Carolina. So the wedding was planned for 2015. So obviously prices have significantly gone up in the last 10 years. I mean, it wasn't like, I'd say it was like a mid-range wedding budget. And obviously getting married in New York versus South Carolina, for example, like huge price difference. New York City or something like that, or even I grew up on Long Island, so like Long Island wedding versus a smaller city in South Carolina is going to be significantly different. But yeah, I'd say a mid-size wedding, we were paying for it, so that's why like at the time like deposits were put down and all of that, all that fun.
Yeah. So, all right. So you guys were paying for a big chunk of it, the big expenses. Your family was showing up to support. What was going on in your mind that, and you can tell me as much or as little as you want about this, but that made you think that this was not what you wanted to do and you didn't want to go through with it?
And the thing is like, and he's, I mean, not that we communicate now, but like a great person, like truly an amazing person. Like he, no, like I really have nothing negative to say at all about him as a person. It just, I mean, I was young. I mean, even now I'm turning 34 this year, and I'm like, gosh, I was such a baby, like looking back. And I think you just get, or at least for me, like swept up in, I don't want to say the hype of it because I don't want to
I
like
think you can
downplay
say
it.
that. I think, there is, it is like a tornado or a tsunami or whatever. Like, it carries a, it's a big event. A lot of people are involved, and you do just get swept up in the momentum of the event planning.
So, it was so fun planning, like I loved wedding planning. And I think I was very focused on the wedding planning part and not necessarily the marriage part, which is my own, like I think that's gets to be common as well, or some
I
people
do
can
too.
do
I do
that.
too. Yeah.
Like the wedding planning is fun, the wedding is so fun, but
Yeah.
at the end of the day, it's a one day event. And really the focus, in my opinion at least, the wedding is great, but you need to make sure, the next 60, 70, whatever years are really the focus, not necessarily the one day event. And I think for me, I was very focused on the wedding itself and not necessarily the marriage piece. And when I really sat down with, or even with my own thoughts of like the marriage piece, I was like, is this really what I want? One, for this part of my life at 22 years old. And two, is this like what I is this who I see myself with for the next ideally 60, 70, whatever years? I mean, I know things happen. I'm not saying you can't get divorced, but going into it, that wasn't obviously my intention,
Right. No,
not
exactly.
starting a marriage off that way.
It's really hard also. I mean, at any age, right? The concept of forever and ever, I think, is really hard. But I don't know what you were like in my 20s. I was very confident, and I felt like I was ready to make big decisions. And now, like, I look back and I'm like, what? I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't know anything. And that's so I think that there's no way really around that. But did you come to this all on your own, or were you talking to family and friends? Did you guys do premarital counseling, anything like that?
We did some maybe like two sessions of premarital counseling. I mean, it was a lot of internal discussions with myself because also, I am the oldest child. I'm the oldest of three, and I have every single oldest child tendency, or like personality trait is me. I
You studied the
follow,
books hard.
yeah, I'm like that personality trait is all
Yeah.
me. And so, for me, it was, we were engaged, we were planning a wedding. Like, you can't end it. Like, in my head, I was like, there is, like, you've committed, like, you've already, and I haven't obviously legally at this point, but I was like, you can't end it. Like, you've already said you were going to do it. Like, you got to go through with it. Like, there is no way out. And I remember I was in the Starbucks drive-thru. Like, I can vividly remember this perfectly. And I, in my head, I kind of knew I wanted to end it, but I was like, there's just no way, like, you just got to go through with it. Like, you've already said this. And I was in the Starbucks drive-thru and I was talking to one of my best friends on the phone. And it's the first time I kind of said something out loud to anyone. And she was like, so don't do it. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was
Is
like,
that an
don't do it.
option? Right.
And then
Yeah.
like once she said that, it just like something clicked where I realized like everyone wouldn't care. Like, in my head, I was like, everyone will hate you and everyone's gonna judge you and everyone is gonna like talk about you and like this, you can't do this, like, and I just made it such a big thing in my head that once I finally like talked to at that point my best friend, I was like, oh, okay, and once she was like, it's real, like, if you don't do it, like, don't do it, like, no one, no one will care, like, everyone, no one will want you to just do it because you feel bad, about what other people will think. And once she said that, it was like my mind was made up. Like, there was nothing anyone could have told me at that point to like change it back to, before. So that thankfully was an eye-opening experience. But I think in a lot of scenarios, we get in our head a lot, of
Yeah.
what people will think, obviously. And we don't, we make decisions based on that, like, what outsider people, whoever will think,
Yep.
or what people might talk about you, or it's make it this whole thing. And really, like, the people who, what I learned through that experience was the people who love me and the people who are there for me, like, they want what's best for me too, and they don't want to have me go through something just because I feel bad about it or feel like I'm stuck.
Yeah, no. So where were you in the planning process? Like, had you put down deposits? Had you sent invitations? What had you done? What
Yeah,
had to
so it
be rolled
was
back?
2 months out from the wedding.
Oh, so everything was pretty much done.
Yep. Invitation, it was like right. So like save the dates obviously were out. I think
I
if I
was right.
remember
60 days
correctly,
is invitations.
it
Yeah.
was like right before invitations went out. I
Okay.
mean, obviously everyone already like knew and had the date and had everything. It was like a yeah, like two and a half months out, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, it was
It
right
was
before.
close. It was
Yeah, it was
close.
close.
All right. So that's it. I mean, yeah. And I agree with you absolutely. I think that you're right that we do feel a lot of external pressure. And I mean, it is real. This is a public event. A lot of people are involved. People have strong feelings about it. I think that's normal and, good to be aware of the fact that we don't live in a bubble, right? But at the same time, like you're saying, it's one of the things that we learn to do, hopefully, as we go through life, is to make decisions based on what's important for us and the people who are closest to us. If they're really good for us, we build a circle of people who do love us and believe us. Weddings are one of those things, though, right? Where people could have conflicting emotions. It's like somebody could really love you, but it's like, yeah, but great grandma's 93. Like, what?
Oh, totally. And for me, like I said, my family was in, like, I'm from New York and this wedding was in South Carolina. So like for me, my thought was like people are already trying to travel or like have hotels booked
Yeah.
and like you can't disappoint everyone. Like they already have a hotel. And like now thinking back, it's been 10 years, I'm like, gosh, I literally was thinking like I'm gonna get married because some random family friend's hotel is booked. And like but in that moment, I was like, everyone is gonna hate me because they, I mean, at that point, thankfully, even with the hotels, like they could get their money back and it was okay. But still, it was just
Yeah.
there was a far enough out. But, in my head at 22 years old, I'm like, I have to do this. Everyone already has everything booked. Like it's already planned. Like there is no way. And I'm thankful that I didn't. I mean, not like I said, it was one of the hardest decisions I've probably ever made at this point. But like 10 years out, like no regrets by any means about it.
Yeah, and so you were thinking this is a big decision, definitely. And one of the things, so you were thinking about other people and their financial commitments for their reservations, and so finances and the financial investment 60 days out. This you shared with me. This was a big part of this decision. And so what kind of things were you worried about? You were worried about other people's reservations. Had you put deposits down on facilities? Obviously, because it was 60 days out.
So we had deposits and some of it, I mean, there were some that we could get like a portion of it back, but obviously since it was like 2.5 months out, like some of it was just like non-refundable. And at 22, like $7,000 was like what we lost or in deposits. And like at 22, one, I didn't have like that much money to start. And two, like I was like, we can't just like quote unquote lose, $7,000, $8,000. Like you've already put money down into this. Like you can't call it off because you lose that money, which, like I said, thinking out now, in the grand scheme of things, like that doesn't matter. But for me at 22, someone who didn't have a lot of like excess and like this money was for this purpose, losing that was a really big deal and definitely played a factor in, do I want to go through with this or not? Because like we already had money, which at that point, $8,000. Well, it was more than that. We got a little bit back, but still, like that was an investment for me. That wasn't. I didn't have, like I said, just a lot of money floating around at 22. So, yeah, it played a huge factor in like, do I want to go through with this or not? Because I was scared to lose that money, and how would I ever get that? Or how can I make that
Yeah,
up?
I think it's an amazing thing. First of all, I will say that even though, okay, so this was 2015, so it's been 10 years, inflation has gone way up, so on and so forth. When you pitched it, you said, hey, $7,000 felt like a lot of money when you were 22. I think that $7,000 is still a lot of money. If you were going to hand somebody $7,000, it's a big decision. If you dropped a $7,000 check, you'd pick it up. You pick it up. It's a lot of money. I don't think that there's, I mean, even if you are, if you're doing very well and you're very secure, you're still gonna really, really think about that. So I think that I just want to give you credit for the fact that I think it's a big decision. So you shared how your best friend responded to it. How did other people in your life, maybe not the person you were going to marry, but so we don't want to give them a hard time, but how did the other people in your life react when you began to tell them, like, hey, I'm going to walk this back, I'm going to eat this financial decision, I'm not moving forward with this?
Honestly, like great. I mean, I remember telling my mom, and I think she could kind of sense before that something was wrong. I mean, I didn't like verbalize it, but she could tell just from like body language conversations, and it's hard, I can't speak for her, but like as your kid, like you obviously want what's best for your kid, and it's hard when like your kid's going through a huge life event and you can kind of sense that like is this the best decision, and you want to like be respectful, like I don't know exactly her thoughts, but we've had conversations after where, she knew that something was going on, and even she was like, is this, internally for her,
Yeah.
like, is this really what's best? But, she couldn't, or it felt like she couldn't just like say that because, you don't want to create additional tension or anything like that. But I mean, I told my sisters, I have two sisters, and my mom, and they were like, sounds good. And they actually were the ones that kind of like took it from there and like spread it to like family friends. Like I really didn't have to do much, which was nice in that sense. I mean, I had to like contact vendors and like, do all of that stuff, but telling guests, really, like my two best friends kind of told like friend wise, like my side, you know, and then like my sisters and my parents told like everyone else from a family side. So I really didn't have to be the one to like put out a mess, you know, or like text or call people. So that was really nice, to not have to like be the one to be like, hey, I'm, you know, calling off my wedding. I just kind of took that pressure off. But yeah, so everyone on my side was very like respectful about him, was like, sounds good, like that's the decision you want to make, like we're here for it, we support you. Which it's just funny because before that in my head I thought everyone would be like, oh my god, like you're a failure and a terrible human, you know. And then once I voiced it, they were like, cool, like let's, you know, we're rolling with it, like we got you. And I was like, oh, this is not the internal conversation I was, you know, recently having with myself.
I love that because you were role playing in your mind and you were ready for it. That's really interesting. Okay, so this is a good time for me to pause. I'm going to invite the audience to join us in the conversation. I'm talking to Allie about a time when she canceled the wedding. She had a lot of pressure about the finances and the social connections and all those things. I'm sure she's not alone. I know I've known many people who have gone through cancellations of events. I'm related to people who've called off weddings. So I'd love to have you join us on social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and join the conversation. You'll find a discussion question there that you can jump into. And now back to the conversation. So you were only 22. This is before your probably wave of friends began to get married. Have you known other people since then that have canceled weddings and you've been on the guest list or seen the events and things like that?
Yeah, so I have, so being 22 and I went to school in the South, so actually I was like, I already had friends
Oh,
married.
so you were in the middle of it.
Yeah, because of, you know, just like the culture that, you know, down here. So I had some friends. I mean, I definitely had friends who weren't at the time or even close to it. So I've kind of gone through different waves of weddings, like super young, and then like now I have friends. I have two weddings actually this year of some friends, and I'm 33. So anyway, yeah, I've had I know two people that have called off weddings, and I also know people who got married and divorced already. So you know, who were married a year or two or whatever. So yeah, I mean, now being 10 years out, I have seen it. And I think to your point, like it is more common than I thought. Like at that time, I was like, I'm the only person to ever do, you know, to ever person to ever do this. Like everyone is gonna hate me. And then after I did it, and I've talked about it before, like other people have also been like, you know, I've thought about it, or I had a friend who did this, or you know, like just kind of it is way more common than I believed at the time. So, and I felt like I was probably, you know, at that time I was like, I'm the only person in the world who's ever done this and everyone's gonna hate me. But really, that's not the case.
So you ended up eating a portion of the deposit. I actually know at least one time, I would have to think about it to do this, but I actually was invited to a party that somebody threw that started as a wedding. I don't think it was theirs. I think it was like a child's, but anyway, it was an event that was called off and they couldn't get the deposit back. And they're like, fine, I'm going to use the space. They invited us all over for an event. I don't know if I'd like, so I think that, you know, it is the reality of hosting live events that there are expenses. This experience though shaped your life in a couple of ways. So you ended up with this debt, which you did. Let me know if I misunderstand this part of the story, because this came from the form. Did this calling off this wedding somehow lead to you meeting the person that you went on to marry in the future?
No, I mean, I met him soon after. I mean, we dated for many years, but no, I
And
didn't.
not directly.
No,
Okay. I
not
wasn't
directly.
clear about that. I wasn't clear. I was like, that is a piece of the story that I would have to know. Okay, so you do go on in the future. You get married. You're a part of a family now. And so what's interesting about this story, and let me know if I get these details right. So you ended up with like, you know, $7,000 in debt from or bills, commitments from your first wedding. And then when you do get married several years later, you marry into a big financial obligation, a six-figure financial obligation. Was that student loans or was it something else?
It was mostly student loans, so around like 100 of student loans, and then some credit card debt and a truck loan. I mean, the majority was a mix of like federal, private student loans. But yeah, so my husband, when we met, so after all, I mean, I was kind of into finances planning the first wedding. When I first graduated college, I was like, how do people live? And all the advice
How
out
did
there
these
was,
bills work?
and all the advice was like, you just can't do anything. And I was like, oh wow, this sounds so terrible. So anyway, I was kind of into finances as the whole wedding thing was going on. And so when I met my husband, we talked about money pretty early, just because I was very passionate about getting my finances together. So I wanted to make sure we could get on the same page, because if he was like, I don't care, I'm just going to be in debt forever, then like we probably wouldn't work. So anyway, I knew he had debt dating. He said it was around 100,000. That's what he thought. He was someone who was paying the minimums, just like, like with a lot of people, just kind of like getting by. When we got engaged and really sat down and pulled all of the numbers, it ended up 154,000. So even he was shocked. He wasn't lying. He just never really totaled it up. And with a lot of people, even people I know, like student loans actually went up, because if you're paying the minimum and you're on like an income-based plan, you're really not, you're paying anything. So the balance goes up, which he didn't know, and a lot of people don't know. So
And if you're
anyway, with
older, this is new. Like, so this is something that's happening to people who are in their 30s, but like what you experienced literally did not happen to me. The
yeah.
loans were structured in a different way. So this is one of those generational conversations that like when I graduated from college, my student loans like all consolidated and they took the lowest interest rate at the time, and that's what I paid. And so, and it was automatic. It was automatic. And then people who are graduating now, they it is structured so that you can like pay forever and never make any forward progress on these bills. And they don't consolidate. They're very hard to consolidate a lot of them, even the government ones. It is totally so for the people who are my age who are listening, who are like, why don't people pay these off? I just want to speak up and say, hey, the kids have a different deal. They have a different raw deal these days, I gotta say. So, and tuition, holy mother of God, it's so expensive these days.
Yeah.
Anyway, off my soapbox, you're
No,
doing
I'm
a
glad
great
you said
job.
that.
You're doing an excellent job having these conversations before you get married. Finances and money are one of the top things that get in between relationships. It is stunning how many people struggle to have these conversations. I'm not saying they're easy, but so you're doing a good job. You're talking about it. You realize that you've got $154,000 in debt and you're going to get married. What's mine is yours, then this is going to become your obligation.
Yeah, and I was very much of the mindset, and I know some people disagree with this because people have told me they've disagreed, which is totally fine. We could pay this off faster together versus like you have a portion of your salary and like you just have to deal with this. And to each their own. I'm not here to judge someone. If you want to keep finances separate and you each pay your own debt, like that's a decision you make. I didn't want to do that. I felt, even mathematically speaking, when looking at our numbers, like if we put things together and pay it off and like add it as our joint plan, it will get paid off faster, which it did. It's paid off, like we're fine. But so that was a decision we made. But yeah, for me, it was initially one, overwhelming because the amount was higher than we both thought, and two, it's like I did nothing to get this debt. And
Exactly.
so it was
What a
hard.
wonderful engagement present. A
Yeah, it was
sparkling
hard,
ring
but
and a big bill.
yeah, exactly. And it was hard, I l let myself have a minute, to just like absorb the thought and emotions. And I think that's very valid. But like I said, at the end of the day, I knew I could pay it off, or I knew we could pay it off. I knew the plan, and it sucked, but like it is what it is. And I think, to your point earlier about student loans, it's probably really hard these days, or in the last 5 to 10 years, to find someone who truly has zero student loan debt. If they do, great. But I get comments all the time like, I'd never marry someone who had debt. And I'm like, if that's a red flag or decision for you, like that is your decision. But for me, the debt isn't the problem. I don't think debt, especially student loan debt, defines a person personally. We could pay it off, which we did, but there are a lot of other qualities in him that, to me, meant way more than if he has debt. I mean, even financially, like the qualities or habits he wanted, like he didn't know what he was signing, unfortunately, at 18 years old. And like he switched his major a few times and switched school. There's just so many factors that go into it. And student loans is a whole topic by itself. But if that's a red flag for someone, that is your decision to make that a red flag. But for me,
Absolutely.
I knew the debt would get paid, and thankfully it did. But it definitely was, yeah, it would have been nice to not start with that, but
It is absolutely, it's definitely something a couple should talk about, and whatever the plan is, like, just kind of have a plan so that you're working on it together. Because there are ways to deal with it. Like you said, there's a bunch of different ways to deal with it. So, but the your experience, so you get into this, you start learning about personal finance and how you want to handle your own stuff when you're in your 20s. You are starting this new life with your soon-to-be husband, and you actually make this into a career helping people handle debt and personal finances. So I want to give you a chance to tell people a little bit about how you about what you do and how they can connect and follow you online. So share with us more about this.
So in
Because you paid
2017,
this off fast. You paid this off
in like
in.
3.5 years,
That's
pretty much.
crazy. And so before you explain what you did, I just want to make sure that this is like, were you like
That's not
eating,
normal.
were you eating like ramen and sleeping on an air mattress? Like,
It's funny. I was like, I don't know. I bet everyone listening knows, the very famous financial guru who talks about rice and beans, and that's his like
yep.
thing. So I would say like we didn't do that. Personally, I don't even like beans, but teach their own. If you enjoy that, you can eat that whenever you want. It definitely took a lot of discipline. But to your point, and I always try to mention this because I get comments all the time of like, well, they what you did is impossible, so like I can't do it. And I think what people focus so much on is the time frame. But at the end of the day, if you have a plan that works, whether it takes you 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, like it can get done. There's so many factors. I had no kids at the time, obviously, when I was paying that off. I have two kids now. We lived in a two bedroom, one bathroom, tiny home in a very bad area. So our mortgage was really cheap, which now we have 25 acres and in a, I mean, our house is old. So there's so many things that cost a living. If you're trying to do this in California or New York or whatever, so there's so many things that go into it, that have to be, a factor into, paying off debt. But yeah, we paid it off really fast. But it did take a lot of anytime I got like Christmas money, I put that. Anytime I got a bonus from work, I put that. Like I was very intentional with it. I mean, we still would go on like one beach trip a year, which was driving distance. Like we didn't do elaborate things. No one, this is a podcast, but like I don't care about designer things. Like I literally have like five shirts from Target Old Navy. Like I don't own, and that's just my personal preference. If you value that, like, that's your own
That
thing.
may shift when you have older kids. Like I would say that the like when you have young kids are messy. And
So
like
messy.
it's like, even if you're a designer person, if you're spending a lot of time with young kids, I am a big fan of the Target wardrobe at that phase of life because you may change your shirt 4 times a day. Tempera
No, totally.
paint, Play-Doh, dirt, all the
Dirt,
things.
yes, lots of dirt for sure. But yeah, so we paid that off. And yeah, so the timeline is super fast, and I work with a lot of people who honestly pay off debt faster than I did. And I also work with people who it takes them 7 years, 10 years. It just depends on, so many life factors. Like I said, cost of living, kids, where you live in the what other bills you had. But we had my car was paid off. We paid off his truck. We had no car payments. At that once we were paying that off. So anyway,
So
and
tell us
the
about so that you do this as a business. Tell us what your business is called and how you want people to find you.
So my business is financially focused. It's spelled Allie at the end, like my name. So it's financially with an I, not a Y. And I started as a blog actually in 2017, just sharing like what I was doing. And that kind of naturally just evolved into a business. So I've been working with people on their finances since 2018. So it's been a little bit. I have my MBA in finance. I've been doing this a really long time, and I love it. Budgeting, debt, savings, how to figure out how to do all of that at the same time. It's so fun for me. And I think a lot of people probably rolling their eyes because they're like, this
I
is
am
terrible.
trying really hard not to like. I'm so happy you love
Yeah.
it. Like,
No, it's I think the fun part for me is when I see it click, because like I've just seen over the years just what is really possible. And I think there's so much noise out there, and There's so much comparison, especially with social media these days, of like what people are doing and how they're doing it. And I think when you can sit down and actually just see the plan work, and you're like, holy crap, like this actually can work. It's just like that moment. I'm just like, this is why I care so much, because just sometimes even just small shifts can really just change everything. And it's not just helping the people who are working with, but their kids and future generations. Like the effect of it is just forever, really. So I get,
No,
yeah.
a
So
hundred percent. Like it's one of those things that the more we talk about it, the more we can share the knowledge with the people who we know and who we love. But it's an assumption to make that other people get this lesson, right? So like not everybody has parents who sit down and explain to them about how credit card interest works, or
totally.
you know how I mean, when I was 22, when you were talking about your wedding, I remember my very first job, and my father was just like, okay, so now you're just gonna sign up for the 401k. And I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know anything. I was just following the instructions. But that's, you have to have somebody walk you through it, or else you won't know. And these things can, no matter what decisions you're going to make and stuff like that, I think that being able to make the decisions and knowing why you're making the decisions is really helpful. I did not put it together, Allie with an I, financially with the I. That's very clever. I love it. All right. You have a special offer for the audience. You call it the debt-free blueprint. And it's an ebook that explains how you guys did it, the $154,000 in under 4 years without giving up Friday night takeout, weekend getaways, or your sanity. Normally $57, but use a coupon you can get it for $27. That's a very generous offer. Thank you very much. There's a link in the show notes, wherever you're listening or watching to the episode. And the easiest way to get those links is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then it comes right into your email box and you can just click on it. And then you get all of them. You don't have to like be paying attention and be on top of it. Earlier, we made the joke about beans and rice and ramen. I just want to clarify for everybody that we're not calling out those things. When I was younger, you
No,
could do a 5-pack of like the ramen noodles for, I think, $1. So like when you were broke, you would like totally do that. And I think both ramen, I love ramen and I love beans and rice. I love all of those things. I'm sure Allie, well, she bet, whatever you like, you
it's a
like.
phrase, and people will be like, oh, and like it's literally just a phrase. Like, if you want to eat that, like, please eat it. Like, no one's stopping you.
Very funny early childhood story, because I live in Miami where black beans are a thing. And my kids, we were at a party and my kids ate my friend's beans. And I like, it's like getting little kids to eat things is a big deal. So I call my friend and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is the recipe for these? And she's like, all right, are you ready? I'm like, I'm ready. She's like, you have a pen? And I'm like, I'm ready. I'm listening. And she's like, you go to the grocery store and you buy the El Ebro beans and you open the can and you heat them up. And I was like, what? Okay, that's very funny. Thank you very much. I still remember. I still remember that. All right. Are you ready for the final three questions? All right. What is a good piece of information that you got when you were a child from an adult in your life? Like any adult, but you got it when you were a child. What was that piece of advice? And do you remember who gave it to you?
I'm gonna keep it on because we're talking about finances. The one piece of advice I remember my dad would gave me is to never open a store credit card. And my dad, when I go shopping with my mom, when they would try to get her to open credit cards, my mom would always say her phrase was like, "I can't, my husband would kill me." And then I just took that phrase. So like when I was in college and they would try to get me to open a store credit card, I'd be like, I can't, my dad would kill me, even though like he never said that to me directly and it didn't really make sense. But it did keep me from ever opening a store credit card or going into credit card debt. So yeah.
Very good. I do sometimes. Sometimes like I'm shopping places and they're like, it's like a big shopping thing and they're like 10% off and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna close this in 60 days, but you got it, I'll take the coupon. All right. Share something that you tried or experienced once. Like it can be anything, right? Anything. Something you've done, you've tried, you've experienced it once, but you are really pretty sure that you never want to do that again.
I got my belly button pierced in New York City when I was 16 with my parents actually there. And I literally almost passed out, like was like white, lightheaded, and I think I'm done with piercings after that. So
But you
yeah.
wouldn't know if you hadn't tried it.
I remember it vivid, like I could still, like my parents would tell say the same story. So yeah.
You wouldn't know if you'd never tried it. Okay, there you go. All right. What does the phrase aging gracefully mean to you at the ripe old age of 33?
Gosh, I think for me at this point, it's just really prioritizing the relationships and just things that I value, and just like truly letting go of all the crap that I don't, even if someone else cares about it, like I don't care about it, and that it's okay. Some relationships serve you in different, seasons of life, and you don't need to hold on to all of them. And like, it's okay. It doesn't mean you failed if certain things you have to let go. And I think right now that's kind of been my focus, is just like really prioritizing the people and things that mean a lot to me.
That's a beautiful answer. I love that. All right. That's it, Allie Williams. Thank you for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.